Hello and welcome to Ex-Tumblr Girls, the podcast hosted by two ex-Tumblr girls turned modern Tumblr women. I'm your host, Tori.
I'm your host, Carly.
Let's talk about Tumblr. That's the only reason I wish this podcast had a video component sometimes so they could see us doing our like silly little motion that came to me in a dream.
Yeah, eventually we will get that going, but
That's a whole other beast of a medium. We're just trying to do the audio thing right now.
and we're having a lot of problems.
But I think we've just we I think this is going to be the final hurdle.
Okay. I'll
I
believe you on
think.
that one. So this is going to come out like a day or two late for our listeners, unfortunately.
It's gonna be a day. I'm gonna make it happen
Okay,
because
I believe in you.
we've just been using so many different podcast recording softwares and websites, and it finally occurred to me what exactly I needed to Google to find out how to make it simpler. And once I Googled that, it turns out we can do it easier and cheaper, and I don't have to keep using these websites that are trying to scam me into using their AI product to produce the episode because I don't want their AI to produce the episode. I want to produce the episode because I'm anal about sound levels.
I mean, that's your right. And every single company that's doing some sort of AI thing should really just stop. I am so tired of it already.
I just
Especially
can't.
since I'm looking for a job and like half of the jobs are in these like random AI startup. I'm like, I don't
They're
have any
all gonna
faith that this company's gonna go
crash.
anywhere.
Like, they're gonna crash because it's like AI technician. And then it's like, you're gonna do what? Fix the bugs in the bot until everyone gets over the AI trend in like 5 years? And everyone, then, like, fucking, if I'm gonna knock on wood first, that was loud. If we get a fucking Republican government, they're gonna like ban the internet. In like a year and a half, probably. So I don't think AI has a super long lifespan ahead of it.
I really don't have much faith in our system.
I don't
I've been
either.
watching John Oliver since he's back on air since the writer's
Ooh.
strike ended. And he had some good points on this last episode about the state of the Republican Party and how it's there, they got issues. I'm not going to try to reiterate what he said, but I'm very glad that he's back. He's like one of the actual like news I can watch. But we also watched Fall of the House of Usher, which came out this, was it last week? Yeah.
Yeah, it came out last Thursday.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite of his shows, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah. His being Mike Flanagan for the non-obsessives listening, whatever you guys are doing. For context, Mike Flanagan is a director, producer of something in that vein, who has did he make anything before he started doing this sequence of horror shows?
Yeah, he has a few horror movies,
Oh,
and they
okay.
all have the same actors in them.
Wait, seriously, the movies before
Well,
the
his
shows
wife.
too?
Well, his wife is the one that plays, she's been in
Oh.
everyone so far. She's the one that played Camille, and that's the only one I could think of off the top of
Yeah,
my
that's
head.
fine. I know who you mean. Mike Flanagan made Haunting of Hill House, which I can't believe came out like 5 years ago. I mean, I
Yeah.
guess he puts out a show every year, kind
It's
of.
kind of, it's been pretty consistent.
He put out Haunting of Hill House and then Haunting of Bly Manor, which was that those back to back didn't really, I feel like, do super well because I think everyone was like, are you gonna keep doing the house thing? Like, and it was like it was the exact same cast. Like, it was just a little weird back to back. But then they did Midnight Mass, and Midnight Mass was fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Midnight Club was just okay.
Yeah, that one was more towards a young adult audience.
Yeah.
I think we were a little too old for that to really be good for us.
I still watched it. I still enjoyed it. Like, I like the playfulness of it. And like,
yeah,
I do love a good parallel storyline of like, these are the stories the characters tell about themselves and it reflects their actual, like, you're learning about them through this false narrative. Like,
I thought it was a great idea. I think his shows are just a little bit over the top. Hill House, mm-hmm. I don't think was over the top at all. No. But since then,
this was perfect.
Yeah. And I love Bly Manor too. And I didn't think that one was too much.
I need to rewatch that one.
I've seen them all at least twice. And I think I've seen Hill House 3 times. I love his shows. And also, as we will get into later, we say that we're like big, like we love horror and the horror genre, but turns out that we haven't seen like any of the movies. So
here's
this is what we mean when we say horror. This is the horror that we like, is Hill House.
We love the horror concept. I love the horror ethos, to pull out a big vocab word. I love like the feeling of watching a horror show when it's well done and it's not mm-hmm. just like
abject, jump scares.
Like, I can't even think of the word. That's something that puts me off about a lot of horror, is it's just the scare factor. It's not, I like psych horror. I like psych thriller, I guess maybe is more correct. Because I don't like jump scares. I don't find them entertaining. There's a couple in Hill House and they work, but that's because they're sparing. And
yeah,
I remember the first time I watched Hill House, that jump scare at the last episode or second to last episode, I screamed. Like, I've never been so scared watching a show. And that's what I like. That one moment was so unexpected. And I remember when we saw Midsommar in theaters together, and like, it wasn't like there was no like scream moment. It was just like,
yeah, you just sitting leave the in your theater. Chest. You just leave the theater with this existential dread weighing on your soul.
Yeah, I think I like existential dread from horror more than I do violence. I don't like violence in horror, I don't think. It doesn't entertain me.
No, me neither. I guess my experience with horror, like growing up, was seeing it in theaters and then being terrified going back. Like if it was, you know, if it was dark out and I was waiting with my roommate for the Uber after we saw Hereditary at like 1 a.m, that was terrifying.
Fuck that. Hereditary, the first time I watched it, I only watched the first like 45 minutes. And then I was like, I'm going to go cry. I can't watch this.
Hereditary, I had to close my eyes during in the theater. It was like, it's different from than watching it at home. Like I don't get as scared, you know, watching it from the comfort of my own home with somebody right next to me. But
yeah,
the theater, it's so immersive that it could be a lot. And also everybody else is scared around you.
Yeah. The vibe is
not good. It was not good in the Hereditary theater.
I've also been reading a lot more horror, like the past couple months.
Yeah, you read that book, Final Girls. Was that what it was called?
Well, no. So the one that's been giving me nightmares is Pretty Girls by Karen Slaughter. Oh. I'm gonna be honest with you guys, I don't actually think I would recommend reading it. I read it like a month ago and I still have nightmares about it like multiple times a week.
Yeah, that does not sound fun at all.
It was a good book. It really was. It was really well written. It was just, there were a lot of things I felt were not, they weren't for me in terms of horror. I think the word masturbatory comes to mind when people go over the top with certain types of violence and horror. And it just feels gross. Not in like a, oh my God, blood and guts, gross way. And like a, oh, I feel like you're enjoying this too much kind of way. But I don't know. That's some people's brand of horror. It's just not really ours. But to go back to the fall of the House of Usher, where we started, I also watched it. And I would venture to say that this might have actually been my least favorite Mike Flanagan show. I actually think I liked The Midnight Club more, which I'm surprised. And I don't even remember what happened in Bly Manor all the way. And I definitely like that one more, because I like ones that fuck with the time continuum.
Yeah.
That's a favorite thing of mine. But I don't know. The fact that like 50% of the monologues were actually just lines from Edgar Allan Poe. Also, if you knew the stories that like were hinted at in the symbolism, then you knew how the episode was going to end, which was
like, I guess I'm not that familiar with Poe. And so I enjoyed it as kind of like an insight to his work and what it's like. I mean, I read The Cask of Amontillado and The Raven. And so, I mean, The Raven was like, all right, that's basically the whole show. They could have just called it The Raven and it would have been the same.
Yeah, it would have been interesting. But The Cask of Amontillado, they were heavy on that one. They love The Cask of Amontillado on the show, which is fair. It's like The Cask of Amontillado is one of those things you read in high school and it's just so fucking funny in its concept. Yeah. If, dear listener, you have not read Edgar Allan Poe's The Cask of Amontillado, the spark notes is that a guy invites a guy he doesn't like to his house and then is like, come see my wine cellar. He gets the dude super fucked up on wine. And then when the guy starts to pass out, he builds him into the wall. But Mike Flanagan was really like, how could I make a whole show based on this one short story? But this is a spoiler. So feel free to skip forward like 45 seconds if you really are desperate to not know the details of Edgar Allan Poe nor the fall of the House of Usher. But in the episode where the oldest son dies, at the beginning of the episode, the grandfather clock chimes and Roderick says, oh, that'll be Frederick. And so I knew exactly how it was going to end because when I was a kid, my favorite Edgar Allan Poe story was the one where the man sticks his hand at a grandfather clock and gets his hand sliced off. And so I knew something was going to happen with a pendulum slicing him. Like it was, and so that one to me was like, as soon as the building started collapsing, I was like, oh, like, cause it just didn't feel like shocking.
Yeah.
I guess Hammer I didn't really was shocking.
Yeah.
I don't know what story that was based on, but that one was crazy.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not as upset when I see something coming. Like I tried to see it as like, you know, they know how to tell a good story. Like
that's true. I think, I don't know. I hate seeing an ending coming because I love to be surprised by a twist. And like,
well, the twists in Hill House and Bly Manor were really shocked. Like there was, like that got me. And I think it got everybody that watched. I don't think anybody really saw those coming.
The end of Hill House is so sad. Like, that whole show is just so sad. And then when you watch it back and you're seeing it, like when you know the ending, it changes the whole viewing experience. So like maybe that was the difference for me, was that when I was watching The Fall of the House of Usher, I knew how it was going to end. Like, and not only how the whole thing was going to end, but I knew how each individual episode was going to end. But
well, that's on you for being like, in an English major.
That's just, I do own the complete condensed works of Edgar Allan Poe because I was that kid in high school.
Well, speaking of other shows, I also finished Barry recently, which is
Barry. I thought you were saying Barry, like B-E, and I was like,
no, Barry. I listeners. I have a confession to make. I have attracted to Bill Hader disease. And that was most of the reason why I wanted to watch Barry. But by the end of the show, you are not attracted to Bill Hader anymore. I mean, not his character. Like, that is, I think you would like it. It's so funny. Really short, 4 seasons, 8 episodes, and they're all 30 minutes. So I finished it in like a week. I loved it. I don't want to say anymore, but okay. Yeah, it came out like
as I knew what you were gonna say, so I was like, I just have to let her sit in it. I just have to let the listeners take in this information.
Well, I tell Tori to watch a show. Like, I tried to get her to watch Succession. She still won't watch Succession. And you would love Succession. Like,
I am gonna watch it. I am gonna watch it. I have made the resolution. I am going to watch it. I just have a couple other things I want to finish first. Because I am so, when I like a show, I can't stop watching it. And remember me with Jane the Virgin?
Yeah.
When I watched Jane the Virgin, I put out an episode like a week and a half late because I just couldn't stop watching Jane the Virgin.
Okay, and I think so that's canon event, though. I think every has a phase where they watch Jane, they just binge Jane the Virgin for like a couple weeks, and then they never think about it again.
I never watched the finale. I just never did.
I didn't either. That's a part of the canon event.
Period. But I am running through the middle of Gilmore Girls right now just because it's fall. I just like have it on while I do shit. But my plan for tomorrow, much like my lazy last weekend, I watched The Fall of House of Usher all in one day. I watched the whole thing Saturday morning to Saturday night. My plan for this weekend, it takes far less hours. I'm going to watch Over the Garden Wall tomorrow. That's going to be my little October weekend treat, is I'm going to make muffins and watch Over the Garden Wall. But there's a lot of horror movies they added to Netflix that I think are only on for this month that I really want to watch because I haven't seen them. And also I'm just in the horror movie mood. So I don't know. Maybe I'll put a sticker on the Instagram story and have the listeners tell us their favorite horror movie.
Yeah, I really was also planning on watching some horror movies. Just because I wanted to do it in preparation for this episode. And then the only horror movie I watched was called Mom and Dad. It had Nick Cage in it.
You told me about this.
Well, I love Nicolas Cage. And he... and I watched... What? I just do. Okay.
You know, I've never seen a movie with him in it.
He's great.
I hear. I always think it's so a violent joke when people say that they like Nick Cage.
But he's a very good actor.
No, that's what I hear it as a joke because I'm like, haha, Nick Cage, like the meme. But then apparently he's like a very talented actor.
Well, like he has his facial expressions are very unique. But if you watch The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, that's a really good one.
Oh, is that the one with Pedro Pascal in it?
Yeah. That's a great one because he plays himself in it.
Right. Oh, that I want to see.
But this one that I watched, it had a really weird directing style. Mm. It just felt kind of like action footage. Like, I don't know. It was a little weird, but it's very violent. It was just like all of these moms and dads had this like biological switch. Like it was like a chemical weapon where they, instead of wanting to protect their kids, they wanted to kill their kids. It was crazy.
Immediately my brain was like, yeah, I was born with that gene. But obviously all of this is on a topic. And we're clearly in one focus for once. And the focus is the spooky season. And to celebrate the spooky season, Carly, tell them what we're gonna do.
So if you have been a loyal listener and we're here for our other, I don't even remember what we bracketed, but we're doing a bracket.
It was the fictional girl boss bracket.
Yes, now we're doing fictional horror girl bosses. Though I would say that since we aren't as well versed in the horror genre as maybe we could be, So
one might even say should.
Yeah, I feel like we're not super qualified to be doing this.
Not even a little bit.
But so the ones that we have picked, you may disagree with their placements, but
that's a you problem.
Yeah. There's some on here that we haven't even seen.
Basically, we were going to do an episode talking about Final Girls because it's just like, it's a cool topic, right? Is like the concept of the final girl in the slasher movie is, it's the topic of a lot of academic research, a lot of media mm-hmm. criticism. I would even dare say some like feminist literature talks about the final girl. I saw a really interesting post that I sent to Carly that was about the first girl mm-hmm. in a slasher movie. And I was like, God, that's such a good topic. But the thing is, I actually don't really watch slasher movies all that often because, like I said, I'm more into psych thrillers. So we pulled women characters from the horrific things that we like, and it's okay that none of them are really like the iconic horror characters of forever, because we did almost take off like one of the biggest names in horror to make space for like silly characters, but we kept her.
Did we?
Did we? Okay, we did. Okay. So yeah, the first time we did a bracket, we kind of fucked up, and we were like, "Let's see who'd win in a fight," and then we realized really quickly that that made no sense. So this is just a bracket for our favorite.
Yeah,
horror hottie.
Yeah, I don't want to make these characters fight.
No. This is just a bracket to be interpreted in any way we so choose. I love a bracket where each pairing is treated entirely different than the one before and picking whatever rationale feels right.
Yes. So are we ready to start?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right. So first up, we have Jennifer Check from Jennifer's Body, who we thought her last name was cool. I don't know why, but we both thought it. And we have Grace from Ready or Not, which is a movie that Tori has not seen.
But I fuck with the character.
No, she is awesome. I'll give you a little synopsis. I mean, you probably I know
like the general plot.
Yeah. So for our listeners, she is like marrying this guy who's part of this rich family, and before their wedding, or maybe it's after the wedding, I'm not sure, but they do this like game to basically figure out how she's going to be hunted for sport, and yeah, then she's hunted for sport. And that's how the movie goes.
Yeah.
And she's the bride who's trying to fight her way out of it. And she does win. She does get out.
Yeah. And like, that's not even a spoiler, because the fucking poster for the movie is her in a wedding gown with like rounds of ammo as like a sash, like carrying a machine gun. Like, and then the thing I love most about her is that she's all over my Pinterest boards in my mania memes mm-hmm. and my like woman scorned memes. She very much like fits the aesthetic of the like woman covered in blood like mm-hmm. boards on Tumblr, except those are always co-opted by the girl bloggers and the coquette bloggers, and we yeah. try to pretend that we don't have mass overlap with them. But there's a screen grab of her covered in blood with like the ammo round smoking a cigarette, and I'm like, God, she gets it.
And you know what, we can all relate to dating a man who is not who we thought he was
and wishing you could kill him.
Exactly. So Jennifer Check, I mean, I just love when she's like, my tit, like I just love that.
Jennifer's Body is like, I really wish it had a bigger place in the horror zeitgeist, because mm-hmm. it's so fucking good. It gets yeah. campy, which I think is like a really fun part of it, is that some horror movies go campy and it's like, ew, like this is stupid. But yeah, when Jennifer's Body gets campy, and then the fucking Panic at the Disco song being Panic at the Disco's best song. But regardless of that, like Jennifer is just, she's such a relatable character in the worst way. Like that picture of her at her desk when she hasn't killed anyone in a couple days, and she just looks like shit. Like,
yeah. Well, I, you know, it might be a blessing that I never watched that during my I want to eat men phase.
Oh, I was gonna say you never watched it, and then I was I know where you're going.
I watched it recently, but if I had watched that, I would have started identifying as a succubus. Like it would have been that.
You were on the border already. You didn't need Jennifer Check to like inspire you further.
No, I did not.
If there's anything that's going to make it obvious which way I'm going to go here, other than the way I've already talked about it, for an art class I took in college, we had to do a drawing on an unconventional material. It was like you had to make a drawing on something that wasn't paper. And I sanded and painted a mini Bic lighter, like one of the half size ones, and I painted a portrait of Jennifer doing the lighter on her tongue. I actually don't know where that lighter is.
I remember that
it's at my house, but it turned out so fucking good. And like I remember I was painting it and I was like watching like something on my laptop, and I looked at it and I was like, holy shit. And I like called my roommate in and I was like, look at this. She was like, whoa, what the fuck? And I was like, did you know I could do this? So my Jennifer's Body lighter is one of my prized possessions that is not currently in my possession. But I'm going to go with Jennifer because
I'm also going to go with Jennifer. Badass. Yeah, I just think she's iconic. And I also like she like turns evil at the end.
Yeah, she's horror. She's horror.
She also, I don't remember who the video essayist is, but a video essayist did, oh my gosh, no, it's the girl from Rehash. I
don't remember. Oh, Maya?
Maybe. I'm not sure. But she did a video essay on the abject female body in horror, and Jennifer's Body is a big part of it.
Maya's channel name is Broey Deschanel.
Yes, I think yes. It's that one.
That's cool. I gotta watch that. But yeah, Jennifer Check all the way.
Okay, Jennifer Check's moving on. All right, next up, we have Nina from Black Swan and the Teen Yellow Jackets as a whole.
Yeah, so the explanation behind this one is that, as if you've listened to previous episodes, you will know that we fucking love Yellow Jackets. I really need to rewatch it. I really fucking love Yellow Jackets.
But don't have Showtime anymore. So I'm waiting until season 3 to restart my subscription.
Yeah. We couldn't pick just one because we're only doing a 16 person bracket, not a 32, because that would take a really, really long time. So we just decided to put the Teen Yellow Jackets all as one horror hottie. And I don't know. Do you have a case for Black Swan, Nina?
Well, you haven't seen Black Swan either.
That's why I'm asking. Do you have a case for her? Other than the whore mirror.
Whore. So what happens in Black Swan is she's a ballerina. And her mom is like evil. And she's really immature and just like sheltered and goes crazy over this part, and she starts hallucinating herself, and she basically kills herself at the end as the Black Swan character overcomes her. I think I'm pretty sure she like hallucinates herself like killing the other understudy or something. I don't remember all the details, but she is crazy. And there's a reason that the girl bloggers also love her. But I think just this sheer mass of the Teen Yellow Jackets, like, I think I they mean, would.
Even if we were to put her in a 1v1 with any of them, I would feel that any of them would win. Because, yeah, like, Shauna alone, I know that's like my thing I will carry to my grave is my obsession with Shauna Shipman. Even though, like, it's crazy. Shauna's not even my favorite character. Nat is. But, like, these characters, they mean everything to me.
Well, I think if I think about it as who would win in a fight, like, obviously the Team Yellow Jackets, because Nina and Black Swan goes crazy. They go crazy, but they remain alive somehow throughout the wilderness.
They
so
fight through that shit.
Yeah. They push
Aisa
it down.
Barely makes it out with her mind, but
they really love denial, and I can relate to that. we'll say the Team Yellow Jackets win this round.
Yeah. I'll make my case about Misty later, because I'm sure she will be an asset.
Yes. That's a perfect way to describe her, as an asset. Okay, next we have Nell Crane from Haunting of Hill House. She's the youngest sibling who dies in the beginning. And we have Wendy from The Shining. Now, I haven't seen The Shining, so you're going to have to make a case for her.
My case for Wendy would be, well, one, I've read both the book, and before Midsommar came out, The Shining was my favorite movie. So I saw the movie for the first time when I was like 14 or 15, and that was my favorite movie until I was 20. Like, so I have a long history with The Shining. And I think she deserves a larger place in the horror zeitgeist because, like, yes, The Shining is a classic psych horror movie based on a classic psych horror novel, but Wendy's role in it, I feel, gets a bit underplayed because obviously it's so much about Jack and his son because his son has the shine. But there's just like so many good moments for Wendy. Like, she's the one that's trying to get them out. She's the one that's being chased around the hotel. Like, I think she plays a larger part in the book than she does in the movie. Because, like, in the book, I think a lot of his murderous intent is centered around killing her more than the son. And like, he's cutting her off from everything. And then there's always the classic, her standing behind the bathroom door with the axe and with him, his head in the splinters of the door. But she's just a cool character, I think. And also, I like Shelley Duvall because, hi, I'm Shelley Duvall. She's just a good actress and she plays a good character. And yeah, I remember her being more interesting in the book, but
is she a final girl?
I guess so, but the final girl is kind of really like reserved for the slasher where like anywhere from like 3 to 8 people die before her, and she and her son survive. I don't actually, this is I haven't seen The Shining in a quite a while, and I actually don't remember how the movie ends the story. I know in the book the hotel burns down, but I don't actually remember if that's how it ends in the movie. But she, in a sense, yes, she is a final girl. She does survive the horrors.
I mean, from everything I've seen, like, she seems awesome. Like, I like want to smoke a blunt with her. Like, I think I do. Like, Nell, I kind of want to go with Wendy just because Nell is so, like, I don't know, she makes me so sad. Like, her whole story is so sad. And I didn't really connect with her character as much as I did other characters. I feel like in Hill House, I think my favorite sibling was Luke in Hill House. And I mean, I do think she's an amazing character, but I'm just sad thinking about her.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't really call her like a, like, I don't know. I feel bad calling her like a horror hottie. Like, she was a victim.
Well, she is the thing that goes bump in the night.
Yeah.
That's as much as I can say without really spoiling that show, because I think that show deserves to be watched unspoiled.
Yes, definitely.
I would actually, yeah, she is like, she's the glue of the story, but I guess maybe she's not really the main character in a way.
Yeah.
It is interesting
The
because
house is the main character, let's be
that's
real.
so true. Yeah, the house, the mom.
The mom.
But the sibling who wears, oh my God, of course I'm going to forget her name. Mike Flanagan's wife plays the character who always wears gloves because she can like feel things from other people. She, I think, is my favorite character in Hill House. I
Yeah,
just
no,
resonate with
she's
her
awesome.
character so much.
Yeah, I really loved them. Like, they were all so uniquely characterized. And it's not very often that you see a show with a big family, like five siblings, which is how, I mean, or five siblings in total, which is like my family. And, representation matters, guys. But that was a big part of why I loved that show, because all of their different dynamics is so interesting. But I would just say that Nell is not my favorite of them all.
That's fair. I would let Wendy move on.
Right.
Nell is, you're right. Her story's just so sad
It's so sad.
that I almost feel
All right.
hesitant to call it horrific because I feel bad.
Yeah. All right, next up, we have Cocaine Bear versus the Beldam or the other mother from Coraline.
The
I wanted to include her because she doesn't get enough recognition for all the hard work that she did. And that is a sl Cocaine Bear is a slasher, which I would consider horror.
That's so interesting. Wait, it kind of it is.
And is there a final girl? I'm pretty sure there is a final, no, I guess there's a final
No.
mother and her daughter.
The Cocaine Bear is the final girl in that movie.
She is the slasher and the final girl.
The
That is wow.
final girl. Much to think about. Much to consider.
I will say, I think Coraline is the first horror movie I ever saw. I feel like that would probably be safe to say. I really was disturbed when that movie first came out. I mean, I was like, what, 8 or something, so makes sense that I was terrified in that movie theater.
Yeah. I don't think
But
I didn't see it in theaters when it came out, but I do remember, I think for Halloween in like third grade, our teacher read a chapter from the book, and I was very unsettled by just the cover, the original Coraline cover. And so I didn't see it for quite some time. But then when I did see it, I was fucking scared. And now it's like one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
But
Well, once you know how it, like, I mean, I've seen it maybe 15 times at this point.
yeah.
Like, I watch it all the time,
It's
especially.
exciting now.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a good movie. The Laika movies are so good.
Yeah.
And the other mother is terrifying.
She's,
Yeah.
yeah. Dude, like, it's crazy that in a stop motion movie or a claymation movie, whichever like it qualifies as, that scene with the web where like the world starts to fall apart, and that's insane. Like,
Yeah.
she's truly terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't
The
know.
children's eyes. And
Oh.
even in the beginning, like the scene in the beginning with the credits when she's making a doll. And then I don't know if I'm sure you've seen the TikTok account that pulls clips from
Yeah, and is
Coraline
going over
and
every single piece of
analyzes them.
symbolism.
Like the animators on that movie, they did so much for
Yeah.
the culture and for Tumblr. I'm surprised that Tumblr doesn't talk about Coraline more.
It's actually, yeah, it's very surprising because it's got so much to talk
Yeah.
about.
like
my brain went, but they hate to see a girl boss winning.
I don't know if I would call, I would say Coraline might be our girl boss.
No,
but...
no, that's who I meant.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, it is so. And then when the hand comes back at the end.
Oh my God.
It's just, yeah. It is so good. Another thing that deserves a better place in the horror zeitgeist. It doesn't get considered. Yeah,
I think that the ones that we've chosen for this are the only pieces of horror media that ever need to be watched.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we like the horror that has interesting stories that centers around women and that isn't solely focused on like slasher violence. And also,
yeah,
I was going to say, I don't really think we enjoy things that like dissect gender roles too deeply in horror.
I mean,
we love a woman focused narrative that doesn't really get into like the difference.
Yeah, we don't need that. I just want to see girls committing crimes.
Like, period. So, but if we're looking at the lens of girls committing crimes, the cocaine bear. And she's a mother. We've got two mothers pitted against each other right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. How are you leading?
Why is this the hardest one so far?
Other mother versus cocaine bear. It's a hard choice.
If we're calling them horror hotties, cocaine bear. Like, Other Mother deeply disturbs my soul. Cocaine Bear, I love her. Like, she was so right, everything she did.
Yeah, is this the fight for the ultimate horror hottie, or are we just picking a favorite?
I mean, it's who was our favorite, but I wouldn't say that Other Mother is my favorite character.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And I would say that I idolize the Cocaine Bear. That movie was so fucking insane.
I loved every second of it.
I actually didn't. I didn't enjoy like a lot of different parts of it. But I walked out feeling like I had just had an experience from which I could not return.
Okay, next up, we have the adult Yellow Jackets versus the Babadook. So, guys, the Babadook is she/her to me.
When we were picking characters for this bracket, when we like first said like we should do a bracket, we're like throwing out character names, and Carly goes, "The Babadook." And I was like, "Hello," and she goes, "The Babadook is she/her to me."
She is like, okay, why can't the Babadook be a she/her? Was it ever said that the Babadook has to be he, him,
I don't,
or they, them? No,
I've never seen the Babadook.
I do
remember when Netflix put it under the LGBTQ category on their service.
She's a woman. She's a lesbian.
Yes, I was going to say, because notoriously all women are LGBTQ.
Wait, I'm going to look up the plot of the Babadook.
Definitely is a gay icon. Like, it definitely is canon in the community.
So Babadook is a single mother plagued by the violent death of her husband, battles with her son's fear of a monster lurking in the house, but soon discovers a sinister presence all around her.
Babadook... So it's a woman-driven story. So the Babadook is a woman.
Yes. Women's stories matter. They matter.
You know what? Actually, the Babadook is reminding me, just by that very, very brief plot synopsis. I read a book last month, or maybe earlier this month. I don't really remember. I want to say it was last month, called Just Like Home. I don't know when it came out. The inside jacket was like, if you like Haunting of Hill House on Netflix, you'll like this. And I was like, oh, we're not even comparing it to the Shirley Jackson book. That's a great sign. It was fine. It was really strange in the end, but it's very much giving Babadook energy. Adult Yellow Jackets versus the Babadook. And if you're wondering why adult Yellow Jackets are separate from teen Yellow Jackets, it's because we love them all equally.
I think it's crazy that the adult Yellow Jackets have killed more people now in the adult timeline than the younger Yellow Jackets have.
Wait, really? Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. Well,
Especially
because
in
they've
season
only
two.
in, I mean, Team Yellow Jackets thus far in the story have only intentionally killed one person.
Yeah.
And the
So when you think of when
adults
you
have killed
compare them,
like four, maybe.
yeah, I guess I consider eating Jackie as killing her. At least it is comparable in terms of body count.
Yeah, no. Jackie's definitely on their body count, but they didn't kill her on purpose.
No, but the adult yellow jackets have killed many people on purpose.
And dogs.
Dogs. What dog died?
Hyasa's dog.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You're so right.
So, the adult yellow jackets are playing
I
their
think the
merits for
Babadook
horror.
would not scare them whatsoever.
You don't think? I mean, they dealt with the wilderness. I think that
Yeah.
maybe they could take
I
the
think they could take the Babadook easy, especially if they're all together. Like maybe
Yeah.
Shauna on her own or Thaisa on her own would go crazy, but together they are unstoppable.
Dude,
Like for
Misty
real.
would lock the Babadook in her basement and then idealize her and like be like, I can fix her.
No, I think okay, you should write a Babadook Yellow Jackets crossover
That's so good. But who is winning? Who's your fave? I'm gonna go adult yellow jackets, I think.
Yeah. No, I'll agree with you there.
Okay.
I also
We
we
love
haven't
you,
seen the Babadook, so
the
we just haven't seen it. We haven't even seen it.
So far, everyone we haven't seen has lost.
I haven't seen The Shining and I gave it to her.
That's so true, but that's because we feel bad for now.
Yeah, no, adult yellow jackets.
All right, moving on.
Next, we have Verna from The Fall of the House of Usher. So if you haven't seen that yet, she's
A
this
demon? Question mark.
demon. I just
Older
she's
than
the
time.
Raven. Her name is an acronym of Raven, so I just called her the Raven. Did you just realize that?
Oh.
It's okay.
I didn't realize that.
It's just five letters. It's okay. And then we have Annie Graham from Hereditary, who's the mother.
You listen to me, you little shit. I am your mother.
She
And
was crazy.
I'm just gonna say, if
Crazy.
anybody has ever studied mother at the University of Kant, it's her.
Jesus, I almost choked on my water. I think I did. If there is one thing Annie Graham does, is she serves ton.
She put her pussy into it.
I'm
She's terrifying. That character is
terrified.
horrific at the end.
Yeah, and also just like I mean with the other mother, like she wasn't even her real mother. This is her real mother. This is a real mother.
Yeah.
And that's what makes her more scary.
Also, the building, the tiny houses, and
Yeah, she had issues. She had many issues.
Yeah, I think I really need to rewatch Hereditary. I've only seen it all the way through one time. And I was doing it as a double feature with Midsommar. So the ending being it that it was the first time I saw it, it was just a lot of me going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Because it just gets the last like 15 minutes of the movie, like maybe not even 15, maybe 10, are just packed.
Yeah, it gets terrifying at the end where like I remember being in the theater and thinking like I'm gonna throw up like if this keeps going on. I was so disturbed. I mean, I think Ari Aster is
A genius.
a just incredible horror like director, because I don't think that folk horror really gets as much, like there's not as many movies coming out that are like based on folk stories or like mm-hmm. in the way that Midsommar was, first of all, but also Hereditary had some aspects of that too.
Yeah. I like the mystical aspect in theirs is explainable. You know,
yeah,
it's never like some great force we can't understand, which is kind of what the Fall of the House of Usher was like, they never really explained what Verna is and like why she can control some things, but she can't control others, and like how she's been around for so long. And then the one other character she insinuated had also been around for so long, but like, I don't know.
Did you get the Donald Trump reference in Usher? I didn't, but Ty pointed it out to me. It was when she was talking to Luke Skywalker. I don't remember what his name was. What was his name?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The actor that plays Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, he was the Pym Reaper.
Oh, that was Mark Hamill?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize that until halfway through when Ty pointed it out to me, and then I couldn't unsee it.
Well, the reason you said the guy who played Luke, I've never seen Star Wars, so I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
That's so fair. So fair. But there was when she was talking to him, there was it was insinuated that she had Donald Trump as one of her clients.
Oh.
So she said something like, oh, you can shoot somebody in the middle of a street and get away with it.
Oh, well, yeah, I knew I'd heard that quote before, but I thought that was just a saying, to be honest with you.
No, I think Donald Trump said it.
Oh, great. Maybe I've just heard it repeated so many times that I just thought that was like a saying about getting off from things scot-free, as you could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and nothing would happen. That's stupidity from me that I'm willing to say publicly.
I didn't notice it either.
That I just thought that that was a saying that people said. So it meant nothing to me when she said it.
Yeah. Wait, well, that was an aside, but I'm going to go with Annie from Hereditary.
Yeah.
Verna, she just loved her monologues. Like, that was the scariest part, is getting trapped into a monologue with her. I was watching the Brittany Broski show, and she described people that corner you in a party to talk to you as a punisher. And I feel like Verna is a punisher.
She literally just wants to talk. Like, if they cut out every time that she had a monologue that went on for more than like a minute and a half, the show would be like 30% shorter.
Yeah, it's true. All right, next up, we have Carrie from Carrie. I don't know why I had to say it like that. And we had the Supreme from Coven, played by Jessica Lange. I haven't seen Coven in a really long time.
Coven is also one of those things that back in high school, I would like, that was my October rewatch, was like, just rewatch the whole season of Coven. Granted, there's actually some parts of it that are like so violent and so scary. And I don't know how they were perceived, if they were like considered culturally insensitive. Certain parts. Jessica Lange's character certainly isn't a good person.
Okay, well, can you remind me of some of the things that she does in Coven?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I know she's a witch, and I know she's the top one.
Yeah. And I know she's played by Jessica Lange.
They're looking for the next one. So there's like trials. But I actually don't remember anything about her character specifically. So let's change topics. Have you seen the original Carrie?
I have. I have also seen the remake with Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah, which is so funny. I've seen both also. I feel like my vote would go to Carrie here.
Yeah, well, she like kills her entire high school, which is also something that we probably all have daydreamed about.
I mean, she like in every way is emblematic of like the iconic woman in horror, where she's the villain but also the victim, where she's like a woman scorned, but she's also like for the girlies that have a Pinterest mood board that's called women covered in blood. Like, she's yeah. everything. She's everything.
Yeah.
And she's probably
the original. The original is very good. Like, I remember liking it when I saw, and I mean, I'm like the opposite of a snob in this way that I don't like old movies. So the fact that I liked it is a good sign.
Wait, that's so real. I feel like maybe that's part of my aversion to watching like certain classic horrors, is because they're like lower quality and I just don't care about old movies.
Yeah,
me neither. Tried to watch, God, I don't even remember what movie it was. Maybe it was The Poltergeist or something like that. And I like fell asleep. I was like, this is so fucking boring. Like, the effects are so bad. Like,
yeah.
But
okay, well, Carrie's moving
Carrie
on.
Is one where the new version is not better than the old version.
No, they also didn't need to redo it with Chloe Grace Moretz of all actors. Okay.
Now next. Imagine if they'd gotten the actress who plays Grace in Ready or Not to play Carrie.
I feel like I don't know what she looked like before, like as younger. But yeah, Chloe Grace Moretz.
We all know
30-year-olds
can play 15-year-olds.
So true. Okay.
But I just feel like she has the vibes.
Next, we have Red from Us and Danny from Midsommar. So I know you haven't seen Us, right?
No, I've seen parts, but I haven't watched it all the way through.
It's such a good movie. But
it's on Netflix, so maybe I'll even watch it when we hang up tonight. Will I sleep if I watch it late at night?
It's scary. I think it's scary.
It's scary.
I did, when I saw it on campus and walked home alone afterwards. And that was a bad idea. So don't walk outside.
Well, no, I don't do that after 8 p.m. anyway.
But yeah, Red is terrifying. She has like a creepy voice, like the like something like that. She has scissors that she carries, like terrifying. Yeah. Danny, though, I mean, icon.
Like I said, Midsommar is my favorite movie of all time.
And also, she hates her boyfriend. I hate her boyfriend. We have that in common.
She hates her boyfriend. I hate her boyfriend. We have that in common. You've got to make a meme of this.
Her boyfriend is like, everything she did was justified because of him.
Yeah. Like, I am so happy for her in the end. Like, just, she, her, but that
she also wins. Like, she wins.
She won. She was destined. Pele brought her there for a reason. But she won fair and square. But
she did. They danced, and she didn't fall down.
I just love Danny. And every time I watch Midsommar, which is more often than I'd care to admit, in fact, I've made so many people watch it. There was one time, one of my old roommates and I both really loved Midsommar, and she found that movie really calming, such that like if she couldn't sleep, she would put it on. And one of our other roommates came home and said like it was just the part where they were all doing like the and she was like, what the fuck? And our friend was asleep on the couch. But I just, every time I watch that movie, the beginning is more haunting, because you wonder, like, did Pele have something to do with it? Like, you ask yourself this question of, was this the plan all along? Was this, like, actually constructed, or was it fate? Or is this, like, a horrible, unfortunate circumstance that led her to that? Or is it a symptom of the other? It's such a fucking good movie. And yeah. I think she is just, I mean, she's the relatable character. She's got a shit ass boyfriend. She doesn't know what she wants to do with her life. Like, she has so much loss and so much grief, and she just wants her boyfriend to be a nice fucking person and remember her birthday, and he can't. And you know what she does instead? She becomes the May Queen, and she decides for him to get put in a bear suit and lit on fire.
As she should.
Period.
Sandy She's moving on.
Now, I'm sure if I had seen us all the way through, which I will do and I'll report back, but the unfortunate reality is that nobody was ever going to beat Dani in my mind because she's my favorite character.
Yeah. I knew that going in. I did. And I also love her. I just haven't, I've seen it, I think, like 3 times. So
I've
maybe
seen
not
it
as
least 10. Like at least 10. It's my comfort movie. Other than, like,
yeah, that's what that... Titanic is for me. Still.
I love A24 movies, dude. Like, that and Lady Bird, like, genuinely give me a sense of peace.
Oh my god, we didn't have Pearl on here. We somehow got rid of Pearl.
Yeah, we got rid of Pearl because neither of us have seen Pearl.
That didn't stop us from putting the Babadook on here.
Because the Babadook is a different scenario. You don't need to know her story to know her.
So true. Okay, well, we're on to the second round now.
Okay, amazing.
We have Jennifer Check versus the Teen Yellow Jackets.
Oh my god. That's a matchup for the ages.
Yeah. Both teenagers.
Wow.
I think Jennifer Check, just because I think she knew what she wanted. And the Teen Yellow Jackets, I don't think were that confident in their in anything. And I think they were a little bit not in reality anymore. Whereas Jennifer Check, she fully accepted being a succubus, and I loved that for her.
Yeah, I'm just like pondering in the scenario that the Teen Yellow Jackets, like, post-crash, right, come back, Jennifer Check goes to their school. What are they doing? They're gonna fuck her ass up, is what I think they're doing. And, like, as a team, they're gonna be like, no. Mm-mm. Nope.
You think? But
I don't know, because they're just so, like, you're right, they've lost their minds. And so I feel like they're just gonna lash out at anything and everything. But also, Jennifer, like, I mean, she literally rips people's hearts directly out of their chest. And I mean, her, come on, that speech where she, like, is going off on Needy, and Needy's like, it's because you're insecure. And she goes, insecure? God, Needy, that's a joke. Why would I ever be insecure? I was the snowflake queen. Like, I think she would, in fact. Oh my god, can you imagine Misty in a scenario with Jennifer Check? She would bow down.
Yeah, for real. I think, okay. And Misty kind of controls the Teen Yellow Jackets to a certain extent. And I think she would be much more willing.
She sets the bar for what crimes are acceptable.
Yeah. I want to go with Jennifer Check just because.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Yeah.
Okay. She'll move
on. I'm going to eat your soul and shit it out. It's just an iconic
top tier dialogue.
Like,
I don't know why dialogue is not written like that anymore for movies.
It's because it was made for the female gaze. And then they were like, oh, it's not going to make money unless we market it to men. That's canonically what happened.
Believe you. All right, next up, we have Wendy from The Shining versus Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine Bear. These, again, two mothers.
Cocaine Bear.
I mean, look, yes, Wendy gets her child out of the scenario with the crazy father. The Cocaine Bear keeps her cubs snorting up in the face of danger and cops. You know what? I think that we don't talk about enough is that the cocaine bear kills cops.
Yeah.
As she should. The cocaine bear is ACAB. Why do I feel like I've said that sentence before?
I also feel like that's semi-familiar.
Wait, I feel like we've had this exact conversation before about cocaine bear being ACAB.
Maybe we talk about, wait, what?
When I saw Cocaine Bear in theaters, I know that we did talk about it, but yeah, I don't know. Cocaine Bear moves on.
I just love that movie. I mean,
it's so, I was expecting it almost to be like a slapstick comedy. I'm not gonna lie. And it like
it was violent.
Was. But then sometimes she would just like rip people's intestines out with her nails.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the adult Yellow Jackets versus Annie from Hereditary.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
So, mothers.
Mothers.
Mothers. Okay, but okay. Would you rather have Annie from Hereditary as your mother or like Shauna as your mother?
To be honest with you, Shauna, I feel.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I don't want my mom to catch on fire, rise up to the ceiling, have her neck snap, and then the ghost that's inhabiting her inhabits me. Sorry to spoil the entire end of Hereditary.
It's been out for like 5 years, so I think you're good.
But honestly, the adult Yellow Jackets, I don't know. In terms of horror, are they more horrific? Thaisa might be.
Yeah, I feel like the whole altar with your dog's head. Yeah. I just I feel like I want the adult Yellow Jackets to move on.
I also would like to see the adult Yellow Jackets make it to the final four.
Because you know what? They had their reasons.
They did. You know what? They did what they did. And I am an apologist for them.
We are really, I feel like we're not doing a great job of explaining our reasoning, but I want all our listeners to know that you just, if you know, you know.
That's what it comes down to with the horror hotties, is if you get it, you get it. And if you don't, you don't. I don't know what else to say. It's time to be real.
Oh, is it? I thought you just stopped to take a selfie. I was like, okay.
Oh, I'm gonna cut out the gap in the audio where we both silently take our B-reel.
I was kind of upset that nobody reacted to my B-reel yesterday because I made
some... your meatball soup.
Oh my god, it was so good. It was like, it tasted like it was out of rest. I was like, I'm at a restaurant. And I was also drinking wine. And I just
I was like this I'm at a restaurant. POV, okay, well, that's you feel like you're in a restaurant.
Because I make myself a full meal.
POV, I'm in a restaurant. Okay. Adult Yellow Jackets move on. What's next?
We have. Are we keeping this all in? I don't even know.
I think we should.
Okay. We have Carrie from Carrie versus Danny from Midsommar.
I know who I pick.
I know you want Danny to move on, and I'm going to agree with you because she looked really awesome in
also,
her.
I'm not going to lie, I find Midsommar more interesting as a horror movie than Carrie. Because, I don't know, Carrie does have the religious thing to it, right, of like her mother telling her to pray all the time and like she's all sheltered and that's kind of why she goes crazy when she realizes she has powers, but I find Midsommar more compelling, especially the part where Danny is crying so hard and then all the other women start crying with her. I need to experience that. I think that would fix me.
If we ever do a live show, that's what we're doing.
You want to do group communal heaving and crying?
Yeah. All right, we're moving Danny on.
Are we at the final four?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if our listeners can tell. I'm getting very tired.
I am also getting oopy because we've been recording for a very long time.
Have we?
And
how long has it been?
We've been doing the bracket just for 55 minutes.
Okay. Well, we only have three more.
When we get to the final rounds, we tend not to argue that much, to be honest.
All right. So we have Jennifer Check versus Cocaine Bear. I want to say Jennifer. Oh my God,
I know why we've had this conversation. Cocaine Bear was on the fictional girl boss bracket.
Was she?
Yes.
Was she?
She has to be in every bracket from here on out. No matter.
If you haven't seen Cocaine Bear, go see Cocaine Bear.
Yeah, for real. Go see Cocaine Bear. I don't know. Culturally, Jennifer Check is more impactful to me.
Yes.
She is every horror lesbian's awakening. She swings both ways. She has a cool wardrobe, but also there are times she is a complex character. I mean, Cocaine Bear is a complex character. Don't get me wrong. She got addicted to cocaine, and that wasn't her fault. And she killed cops, and that was her choice, but I supported it. But Jennifer did get, they tried to sacrifice her to the devil. And for that, I feel a little bit bad for her. And so her actions are also justified.
Yeah. Also, like, she literally didn't have a choice. She was going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. She's moving on. Cocaine Bear, in our hearts, always.
We're thinking of you, Cocaine Bear.
Next up, we have the Adult Yellow Jackets and Danny.
This is a challenge for me. What are your thoughts? What are you thinking?
Well, I feel like when you think about what Danny went through versus what the Yellow Jackets went through, you know, they have shared experience somewhat in terms of, except wilderness. The thing is that the Yellow Jackets did it to themselves. Mm. Danny didn't really know what she was getting. I mean, I don't know. I don't think she really knew what she was getting herself into.
Well, obviously they didn't survive the plane crash.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
However, one character chose to keep them from getting saved.
Yes.
And so I think that makes her scarier.
Misty?
Yeah.
Well, like Misty. Oh.
I don't know.
Do you, do you think Misty is the scariest Yellow Jacket?
Yeah. Are you kidding? She's a cold-blooded fucking killer.
Yeah. I guess
she alone has two bodies. And she doesn't feel bad about either of them.
No. She really doesn't.
I don't know. I don't know, because Danny's obviously my, like, favorite horror character because that's my favorite movie. But, like, the combination of the Adult Yellow Jacket, I don't know. I guess maybe they're not horror in the way that I wish Yellow Jackets was a little bit more horror.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say Yellow Jackets because I think that when Danny leaves, I mean, I guess we don't know if she does ever leave. I guess she kind of can't leave. I feel like at the end, you know, I'm just thinking her face is in my mind. Now I don't know. I was going to say, I feel like the Adult Yellow Jackets are more committed to violence than Danny is.
I feel like for some of them, it's trying to dig themselves out of a hole. And also, like, Shauna's was kind of just like, I mean, she doubled down on it. She surely doubled down on it. But in that moment, even like, not to wax poetic about the cut of the scene, but the fact that it, like, it doesn't even show her doing it. It shows teenage Shauna doing it.
Yeah, true.
Because it's like,
yeah, I guess now that I'm thinking of Danny's smile at the end, I want to go with her.
She, like, because they're, I mean, the drugs really get her for a good portion of it. But I do think there are times where, like, obviously a lot of it's a whirlwind. But in that moment, I think that she knows.
Yeah. She feels like she belongs.
Yeah.
Let's have her move on.
Is he home to you, Danny? I should get a Midsommar tattoo. I should get the outline of, like, the yellow building.
That would be fun. All right, we are on our last bracket. Round four. Three. One, two, three.
Final round.
We have Jennifer Check versus Danny.
It's what it was always going to be. It's who it's been destined to be, and I don't know how to pick.
Wait, what?
I don't know how I to lost pick. Either.
Oh, I don't know either.
Two very iconic characters to me. Jennifer does more horrific things. She is the horror more than Danny is the horror. Danny the fact experiences that Jennifer dies, the horrors.
I want to go with Danny because Jennifer, I think to a certain extent, yeah, I think like they both are victims. You know, she was like sacrificed and, you know, her personality kind of stayed intact. But before that, she wouldn't have been killing boys. Like, I don't, not to the extent, not to eating them. I don't think she would have eaten them if she wasn't sacrificed.
I think Jennifer would have done what needed to be done. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that Jennifer more is a horror than Danny. Yeah. She plays a more active role in the horror.
That's fair.
Danny, in the same way that I just said, like, I think at the end she knows, but like in terms of the like confusion of it all and the all the acid tea and the dancing and then the like getting thrown into the ceremonies, I feel like for her it does happen in this kind of whirlwind where in the end it does settle in and it's right, but she is kind of almost coerced into the acceptance.
I'm not that scared of her. I am more scared of Jennifer, I guess.
I am scared to Jennifer in a way that is most attractive to me. And for that, I would like Jennifer to win the bracket.
I'm like, I'm sorry, but if you were to like go off in a van with some band and then later show up at my house vomiting black bile, I'd be a little scared.
Scary as fuck. If you killed my boyfriend in an abandoned pool while you were wearing like a white gown and then said you were going to eat my soul.
So does Jennifer win?
I feel that Jennifer wins.
I mean, she deserves it.
Congratulations, Jennifer Chen. You're that bitch.
Do we have anything else to say?
We've
been recording for a while.
We've been recording
for a while. It's a Friday night.
Yeah. I'm going to go watch something potentially scary, potentially not. We will post the bracket for you listeners to tell us your fave horror hottie of these 16 incredibly niche and non-classic horror hotties based on what we have seen and what we like the best and what we ascribe she her pronouns to. Tell us your favorite horror movie. And will we speak to them again before Halloween? Probably not, right?
No. This is our Halloween episode.
Happy Halloween, babes.
Happy Halloween. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We are so excited to have you here and hope you tune in again next time. In the meantime, you can follow us on social media. Our Instagram is at xtumblrgirlspod. Our TikTok is at xtumblrgirls. And we, of course, have a Tumblr. You can find us there at xpodcastgirls.tumblr.com. We kindly ask that if you're enjoying the pod, to give us a rate or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It helps us connect with the rest of the world's ex-Tumblr girls. Come, join, be our bestie, and we will see you next week. Bye.